him, and he has the audacity to poke his head with a stick and say, "Oh Hussein, what excellent teeth you had." He began to recite that famous poetry that no revelation came. Banu Hashim tried to play with the kingdom. Yazid denounced even revelation in Islam, admitted openly that there was no such thing in his eyes as revelation. It was just a joke of power for him. And then he continued in his famous poetic lines that my ancestors from Badr, if only they could see me, how proud they would be of what I had done to Hussein on this day. Hussein ibn Ali saved Islam. This is known. But what is the result of Islam being saved? When Islam is saved, it has a knock-on effect, doesn't it? For example, when you throw a pebble, you take a pebble and you throw it into a small lake, what happens? It has a ripple effect. Islam being saved had an effect on the other religions, because now that Islam grew, had its Quran, had its ulama, had its stories, had its principles, had its ethics, other religions had to react in kind. Imagine now for a minute, you are a high priest in Christianity. And Islam grows. Islam becomes a domineering factor of human spirituality, genuine goodness towards God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You as the high priest are required to counter this, aren't you? You have to keep your flock. You have to demonstrate the goodness that is available in Christianity, the goodness available in Judaism. You have to recount the stories of Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and. The fact of the matter is, the other religions reacted in kind and also had to become strong in their own ways in order for them to become a worthy religion for their own adherents. Otherwise, why would Christians remain Christian if no one was preaching Christianity? True or not? Why would a Jew remain a Jew or a Hindu remain a Hindu if their own traditions weren't being kept alive? The only reason these things were kept alive was as a response to the growing, domineering goodness of Islam. The reality is, every industry, every knowledge, every science, every religion, every sect, every faith has a direct gratitude towards Islam. And Islam has its direct gratitude towards Aba Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Let me show you a story. It is narrated. An incident with Bahlul. We all know Bahlul, correct? Bahlul is one of those great companions of Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhim ajma'een, narrated that he feigned insanity in order to put across what he wanted to teach at a time which was difficult to really preach. So narrated one day that he goes towards the Holy Kaaba and he stands in front of it in Hajj. Hajj has thousands of people flocking, performing tawaf. He stands around and in his loudest of voices, he calls out, "Ya Allah!" Loudest of voices. So everyone turns. What's going on? Who's this man shouting in the Holy Kaaba? "Ya Allah! You are the greatest! Allahu Akbar! There is no Lord other than you. Glory be to you for your creation, your sustenance, your kindness, your mercy. Everything that you are as a creator. Oh Allah, don't forget one person. Don't forget Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam." Because, Ya Allah, had it not been for Muhammad, no one would have truly known how to worship you in this world. And so he leaves. And of course, as is the requirement, when you go on Hajj, you must visit Rasulullah. So he goes towards the city of Medina. He arrives in front of the dari of Rasulullah, and in his loudest of voices, in front of everyone, "Ya Rasulullah!" Everyone turns around, what's going on, who's shouting? "Ya Rasulullah!" He stands in front of him, "Ya Rasulullah! You really are the greatest. How merciful you were. How much trouble you went through in order to bring us this religion. How pure you really are. the trials that you brought us with the Holy Quran. Thank you for everything you have done for us. But Ya Rasulullah, don't forget one person. Don't forget Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. Because had it not been for Ali ibn Abi Talib, none would have known you, Ya Rasulullah, because people would have tried to extinguish everything that you were. And so he leaves and he goes towards Najaf. And he stands in front of the commander of the faithful in Najaf. And in his loudest of voices, Bahlul shouts out, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Everyone turns around, what's going on, who's shouting? He's getting everyone's attention. Ya Ali, you are the greatest. Subhanallah. How loving you were towards the orphans. How kind you were towards the widows. How much has been revealed about you. How much you have been praised by the skies and the earth. How close you were in servitude towards Rasulullah. But Ya Ali, don't forget one person. Don't forget your son, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Because Ya Ali, had it not been for your son, Husayn ibn Ali, none would have remembered you, Ya Ali. Your name would have been extinguished as well. And then he goes towards Holy Karbala. And he stands in front of the master of the martyrs. And in his loudest of voices, he calls out, Ya Aba Abdullah. And of course, everyone's turning around. Who is this man shouting? What is he calling out? Ya Aba Abdullah, you are the greatest. Look at your sacrifice on the 10th of Muharram. Look at how you gave your Azhar and your Akbar and your Abbas and your Habib. Look at how you gave your sisters and your daughters for the sake of this. But O Aba Abdullah, don't forget one person. Don't forget Sayyida Zainab salamullahi alayha, because had it not been for her, none would have remembered you and your mission on the 10th of Muharram. The reality is, had it not been for Zainab salamullahi alayha, we would not remember and know of Hussein. Had it not been for Hussein, we would not know Ali. Had it not been for Ali, we would not know Muhammad. And had it not been for Muhammad, we would not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is, none within this earth would know any kinds of morality had it not been for all of those individuals. And that is why we go on ziyarah of Aba Abdullah salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi in Karbala al-Muqaddisa. Who am I standing in front of? Who? I am standing in front of this grand individual. Why am I going to Karbala? Am I honoring him? Or am I thinking that he has to honor me? I have come there to honor him and his sacrifice. When I go towards Karbala and I stand there, I need to start thinking about the changes I'm going to make in my life. You know, many people go towards Karbala and they think to themselves wrongly. You know what they think? That when I come back from Hajj, when I come back from Ziyarah, when I come back from Shahr Ramadan, I'm going to change myself. This is the wrong way to think about your Ziyarah towards Karbala. You must start those changes before you even book yourself for your Ziyarah of Karbala. The most important thing you can do is highlight a handful of spiritual diseases that I have within my heart and start to remove them from that very first day. You see, most people say that when I come back from ziyarah, I'm going to start doing X, Y, and Z. I'm going to stop listening to music, or I'm going to start praying Salat al-Layl, or I'm going to stop smoking. You know, there's many different things people want to do when they come back from ziyarah as a pledge of allegiance towards the ziyarah, as a means of bettering themselves. This is the wrong mentality, my respected brothers and sisters. This is the worst of mentalities. First and foremost, who has a guarantee that even though they have booked their ziyarah, they're going to live to arrive in front of Aba Abdullah and return back? Who is greater, Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why am I pledging my allegiance towards Hussein ibn Ali and saying I'm going to return back a better person? I should already have pledged those removal of those deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place. I don't guarantee I'm going to go and come back. I should already start to remove those fallacies, those illegitimate actions within my life. Choose three. Don't overburden yourself. We're human beings. Know how the heart works. Choose three spiritual deficiencies and start to remove them from your heart before you arrive at Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Do you want to arrive in front of the Master of the Martyrs with those deficiencies? Or do you want to arrive at him having already removed those deficiencies from your heart? When you go towards him, remove them. In fact, the most important thing you can do is tell those people who are closest to you, your family unit, your friend circle, that you're going to remove these things from your life. Ask them to help you in your spiritual endeavor to change yourself. Why? Because you know in Shahr Ramadan, we become much better human beings, don't we? Because the discipline we put in, the daily Quran that we recite, the daily dua that we recite. But when I return away from Shahr Ramadan, I normally return back into the same things that I was doing pre-Shahr Ramadan. Why? Because the environment I go back into is the same as pre-Shahr Ramadan. I didn't keep the Shahr Ramadan environment up, hence there was no change. When people return from their Hajj and the Ziyarah, the reason why they fail, the reason why they go back into their daily routine as what they were before, was because they didn't change their environment before they left. Talk to your friends. Say to them, look, you know what? Sometimes we end up talking these things about people and wasting our time on these conversations of fashion and God knows what else. It doesn't matter. Let's change it. I want to go up to Ziyarah and come back a better person. You're a friend of mine. Please help me change the environment. I don't want to have these conversations anymore. Or in the family, sometimes, as an example, silly films are on in the background, or in fact, they're just being watched by the family. Unfortunately, our community has this shocking method and habit of watching Bollywood TV and Bollywood channels and films, watching these men dance and these women dance. And then I think when I come back from Karbala, I'm going to become a better person. I haven't even switched off that dance before I went to Karbala. I should be able to have the strength within my own soul to tell my family, I don't want these things on in the house anymore. You know what? I'll tell you this, my respected brothers and sisters. If your friends that you go to and say, I want to change my environment before I leave, and I want you to help me, and I will help you. It's not me looking down on you and saying I'm better. We all want to become better human beings. But if you as my friend can't help me, then why are we friends in the first place? True or not? It's not saying you're better than them. But if your friend is not genuinely helping you to become a better human being, your family is not helping you to become a better human being, even after you go and visit Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, the question is, what time do I want to spend with them in that matter? Why am I sitting with this family watching these Bollywood films? Why am I watching these MTVs and these things in the first place? We need to have the strength within our hearts to have these conversations. The fact of the matter is, it happens in our families. No one will say, when I come down, I'm wrong. No one will say that these things don't happen in our families. It does. It needs the strength of the soul to say we're not going to allow it to happen anymore. Otherwise, why did I go on ziyarah in Karbala in the first place? The fact of the matter is, I'm going to a man who is the purest of the pure. He is utterly immaculate. When I get there, I should be begging Allah, remove from my heart the indecencies that are in my heart. Remove the jealousies, the envies. Remove from me the hatred. Remove from me the laziness. Remove from me all the things that hold me down as a spiritual human being by virtue of this man's purity. You know, once His Eminence Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Taqi al-Mudarrisi, may Allah grant him the longest of lives, was addressing a group of Zawar to Karbala al-Muqaddisa. He said, let me pose you a question. He says, imagine now you have become dirty. You know, you've been playing in the street, you become muddy, or it's hot and you become sweaty. So you've got dirt on your body. And you go for a shower, correct? The purpose of the shower is to cleanse your body. He said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a person who's dirty in their body, who's got this, who's got mud on their body or dirt and sweat on their body? Have you ever seen a person enter into the shower and come out dirty? He says, no, of course. When you go into the shower, you clean yourself, you become smelling pure and clean, and you leave the shower. In the same way, have you ever seen a person enter Karbala spiritually dirty, arrive at the maqam of the master of the martyrs, and leave with the same dirt on him? It's impossible. He says, and then think about it even further. That person, let's say you've just been for your shower, you've just removed all the dirt from you, are you going to roll back around in the same mud that you were rolling around previously? Are you going to get sweaty again? Of course not. That would be a silly thing to do, wouldn't it? To go and get the same dirt back on you. In the same way, why would someone who becomes cleaned and purified in Karbala return back to the house and do the same things that they were doing previously? He said it wouldn't happen. The fact is, I have to see Karbala as an entire university for me to take. A university, a school has teachers, correct? It has teachers and it has a principal. I need to take Abu Fadl as my teacher. He was brave and loyal. I need to be brave and loyal. Sayyidah Zainab, I need to take as a teacher. She was pure and she had patience. I need to become pure and have patience. And just like in every university, there are teachers, there is a principal, the dean of every university. If Abu Fadl and Sayyidah Zainab are the teachers of Karbala, then Aba Abdullah alayhi salam is the dean and the principal of the University of Karbala. I go there to extract lessons from that individual and place it into my heart. So, when I arrive in Karbala, there are many people who arrive at the hotels and they will start eating that lavish food and the buffet. And you think that they're there for the buffet more than anything else. Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can you know me on a full stomach? Go towards Aba Abdullah on an empty stomach. Start doing the dhikr in front of him. And as you arrive at the maqam, and as you arrive at the dharif, think about the ziyarah that you are performing. There are two types of ziyarah. There is the formal ziyarah, and there is the personal ziyarah. The formal ziyarah is the one dictated by the books. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam as-sifwatillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuh al-Nabiyyillah. There is the spiritual ziyarah that you use those words to arrive at. There is the personal dialogue between you and Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. When you arrive there, what is the first thing you must do? The first thing you must do is to send your condolences to Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. When someone dies in the community and you go and visit them at their house, what's the first thing you do? My condolences at the death of your mother, the death of your father. When you arrive at Karbala and you stand in front of him, oh master, my condolences at what happened to your mother Fatima. When the door fell upon her and crushed her and she lost her son Muhsin in her womb. Oh Aba Abdullah, my condolences at what happened to your father, that they snatched his rights from him and they dragged him like a camel towards the pulpit of his own prophet and brother Rasulullah, and that you had to watch that event take place. Oh Aba Abdullah, my condolences at what happened to your brother Hassan ibn Ali, that he was poisoned, that he had to spit out a piece of his own liver. Oh Aba Abdullah, my condolences at what happened to your blessed son Akbar, that you had to remove a spearhead from his own chest. Oh Aba Abdullah, my condolences that your daughters were slapped and that their earrings were taken from them. Oh, Abba Abdullah, my condolences to you that Shimmer sat upon your chest and hacked away at your head. Once you have condoled him at what took place, then you can begin to speak to him. You can begin to discuss with him your needs. You can begin to discuss with him the needs of your family and your community. And as you address Abba Abdullah, do not look towards that dhari. So many people go towards Karbala and they are holding on to the dhari and they are addressing the dhari. No, inside that dhari is a grave. And inside that grave is the body of Abba Abdullah, that body which had been trampled upon by the horse's hooves. And beyond that is the soul of Abba Abdullah. You connect with the soul of Abba Abdullah. You talk with him and you ask him to intercede upon you in the day of judgment. As you are there and as you bid farewell to him, turn round and say, Abba Abdullah, do not allow this to be my last ziyarah to you. Call me back to you every single year and tell me, inspire in my heart, Abba Abdullah, as to how I can serve you better when I return back to my homeland. By Allah, the one who stands in front of Hussein ibn Ali and really realizes this man's station will have understood the whole of life itself. By Allah, look at what happened to Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi when he understood the ziyarah of Hussein ibn Ali. He stands in front of him and he says to him that we will pray behind you, Ibn Rasulullah. At that point, as Hussein ibn Ali tries to leave, Hur tries to take the reins and he holds him back. Imam says to him, O Hur, may your mother grieve for you. May she weep for you. Hur responded back by saying, O Hussein, had you not been the son of anyone else, had your mother not been anyone else, I would have responded the same way back to you. But how can I, when I understand who your mother is and who you are? At this point, Imam arrives at Karbala. He asks them, what is the name of this place? Many people give different names. They say that this is Taf, and this is this name and this name. Eventually, one person says, this is the land known as Karb al-Bala. He says, I seek refuge from Karb al-Bala. I seek refuge from all of these things. At this point, he begins to walk his horse, and as his horse stops, he says, this is the place in which we shall camp ourselves. This is the place in which we will form. This is the place in which our blood shall spill. This is the place in which our women will become captives. At this point, his sister Sayyida Kulthum salamullahi alayha runs towards him. Dear brother, in my heart I feel such pain at this moment. Why am I feeling this pain? He comes towards his sister and says, oh my sister Kulthum, let me tell you of an incident that took place. When we were going towards the battle of Siffin, our father Ali ibn Abi Talib rested here and he lay his head upon our brother Hassan ibn Ali and he fell asleep and he saw in a dream. He woke up from that dream and he began to cry. We came towards him and said, why are you crying, O father? He said, I have seen this land turn into a sea of blood. Our son Hussein, he will be calling out for help. Hal min nasirin yansurana. He will be all alone on the 10th of Muharram and none will come to his aid. None will come to his aid. And I will see him drowning in this pool, in this sea of blood. I will see rabid dogs attacking my son Hussein ibn Ali. He turned towards me, O Kulthum, and said, O Hussein, when this day occurs, what will you do? I looked to my father and said, O Ali, I will bear patiently on the 10th of Muharram. I will be bearing patiently for your sake, Ya Ali.
على لعنة الله للقوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
Please raise your hands and join us in dua. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hastening of the reappearance of the awaited Savior. We ask you, Ya Allah, allow us to be alongside him at all times in our life and in our death. We ask you, Ya Allah, if we were to pass away from this world before his coming, raise us from our graves that we may partake in the victory of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. We ask you, Ya Allah, there are many people around the world going through such desperate times. Those people who are in a state of war, those who are oppressed, those people who are in a state of hunger, poverty, lack of education, lack of medicines and natural disasters. Ya Allah, through the wasila of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, grant them all safety, security and victory for the sake of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. We ask you, Ya Allah, allow us to die in the love of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, have his ziyarah every single year, and be raised on the Day of Judgment with Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May I ask you in your loudest of voices to recite one loud sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad for Hussein ibn Ali salawatullah wa salamuhu
alayhi.
An announcement inshallah on Saturday and Sunday after Salatul Dhuhr here. We will hold a youth program on both days. The first day, there will be no topic as such. We are just inviting the youth, anyone from the age of 15 to 35, to come and discuss their issues, to talk, questions, answers, discussions. And inshallah, based upon the reaction from that, we'll be able to pick a different topic to discuss with the youth the following day on Sunday. We humbly invite everyone to come.